You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Where do you go for comics new and old?
Garage sales?
Wrong! Where do you see your favorite television and movie stars?
In magazines, mostly.
Wrong again! And where do you go to see the best in cosplay?
Well, there are lots of different options if you're looking for something...
So incredibly wrong! Wizard World Comic Con. Wizard World Comic Con offers live entertainment and gaming, comics new and old, cosplay, toys and memorabilia, and a chance to meet your favorite television and movie stars. Meet Star Trek star William Shatner and Hellboy's Ron Perlman July 13th through the 15th in Boise, Idaho. Then, meet Gotham stars Robin Lord Taylor and Sean Pertwee August 3rd through the 5th in Winston-Salem. Then, meet Guardian stars Dave Bautista and Pom Clementia and the Winter Soldier Sebastian Stan August 23rd through the 26th in Chicago, Illinois. For news, celebrity updates, and tickets to future shows, go to wizardworld.com. Don't feel like paying full price? No problem. Use promo code CANDAIR at checkout.
No space.
To get 10% off your tickets. So, where are you going to go for your pop culture fix?
The internet?
Oh, good answer.
Really?
No! Wizard World Comic Con.
Go to wizardworld.com for tickets.
This is Hermes Conrad, bureaucrat level grade 36, and you are listening to the Canned Air Podcast. Now stop it and get back to work.
And welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And joining us today to talk about the Kickstarter going till August 8th for the comic The Bawdy Tales of Laszlo Kale, we welcome Andrew Maxwell. Thanks so much for being with us, Andrew.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Going to have a good time today on the show in our retro roundtable. It was this month in 1947 that the events of Roswell, New Mexico took place. You know, whether or not you're a believer or a skeptic, but
seems like only yesterday,
doesn't it though? But anyway, so in the retro roundtable, we're going to be talking about aliens in television and cinema, and I couldn't remember if we've ever touched on that before or not. Maybe we have once. I can't remember, but if we did, it was a long time ago.
Yeah. And
it's fertile ground once again. That would be a lot of fun. Then we're going to swing open the door to the comic vault. Jack, what do you have over there?
Death or Glory.
The title says it all, really, doesn't it?
It's when you hear what the story's about, you're kind of like, okay. It doesn't fit with the title, I guess, but at the same time, the story, yeah.
I can imagine that quote being printed on the back of the graphic novel. It's kind of like, okay. I like it. One of the books we'll be talking about there. Then we're going to turn our full attention over to Andrew and talk about Laszlo Kale. But before we do that, don't forget to check us out on Twitter at CannedAirPod and Instagram, canned_air. And we're also on Patreon.com/CannedAirPod. Head over that way if you want to become a patron, get access to our Patreon show that you can only get by becoming a $5 a month backer, and I think is a decent show, wouldn't you say?
I think so, yeah.
Catalog's growing by the month, so
about to be another one here in a couple days next week.
Yeah, actually there is, so get on board. Get on the Canned Air Patreon bandwagon. And what else, Jack? What am I forgetting? Wizard World.
Oh, yeah.
Going to a Wizard World convention. What's coming up?
Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
And then after that is Chicago.
Yes.
I believe. Yeah, yeah. If you're going to those shows at checkout on wizardworld.com, use canned air with no space at checkout, and you'll get yourself a cool 10% off your ticket price. That goes a long way when you're buying con tickets, people. It's pricey.
It's parking or something at the con you can buy.
Yeah, we want to help you. Help us help you. Jack, it looks like our dear friends over at Adult Swim have sent us yet another awesome little prize here. I shouldn't call it a prize, just a gift.
I've been thinking about them lately, I think. Yeah, that's, I was wondering, it's been a while since we heard from them. It's like that.
It's the funniest thing, because every time I think, oh, you know, it's been a while since we've heard from Adult Swim, I should probably email somebody. Like, I come home and there's something on the front door and stuff. I was like, oh, they didn't forget after all. You gotta love them. But Venture Brothers, coming out August 5th, a brand new season starts at midnight. Set your DVRs. But yeah, they have sent us a deadly kite, or excuse me, a kite of the Monarch.
It's hilarious. it's a battle kite, too.
I was hoping if we could have gotten an early enough start to go out and actually get video of ourselves flying this thing around. Or doing something with it, but
so you might get it in the air and get the drone to fly around on it.
Oh, cool. Yeah! Until the string gets caught up in the propellers,
you get a little too close,
and then down a drone
and a kite
and a Monarch deadly battle kite. But I always love getting stuff from Adult Swim; never gets old. They send the coolest stuff over. I want to thank them again. And again, remind everybody, August 5th, Sunday at midnight, a new season of The Venture Brothers begins. Set those DVRs.
It's been a while since the last season.
How long has it been?
They've gone, I think, a couple of years. It's kind of like Rick and Morty type thing.
I see.
You get a handful of episodes, and then you got to wait for a while. But
I hope that doesn't become the norm just to build anticipation.
Yeah, right.
Because that would suck.
I guess it's all about that creative writing. They got to get those juices flowing, and it takes a little while to get the good stuff, because I haven't seen the show a lot, but what I have seen, it's freaking hilarious.
I'll have to check it out. I've never actually sat and watched it, but I mean, just this character here, the Monarch, he looks pretty entertaining.
Freaking butterfly.
Yeah.
How more menacing can you be?
When it gets nice out, we'll have to get this out and fly it around, get an Instagram video, and put it up.
Heck yeah.
That'd be fun. Let's go fly a kite. All right. With all that behind us, let's just kick it off with this week's Retro Roundtable.
Good night, everybody.
All right, guys. Aliens in TV and cinema. Let's start with Andrew. Andrew, name that first alien.
So I had a ton of ideas that just kind of hit me, but X-Files was definitely one that I thought of right away. I don't know about you guys, but that I was a little kid when that was on originally, and it used to scare the shit out of me, to be honest.
Yeah, I remember it being on. I didn't watch it too much in its original run, but it's funny how within the past few years, and maybe it's just because it came back to television. But it had a really big resurgence in popularity. I think just over the 4th of July, there was a channel, maybe it was Sci-Fi? I don't remember what channel it was. They did a whole like days-long X-Files marathon.
Must be part of the because of the whole retro topic we got going on that they
could
brought
be.
Back.
Could be. Exactly. They're cashing in on the same shit we are.
I never really could get into it. I don't know if it was...
Really?
Yeah, it was on, I think, later than I stayed up, and it was on, what, Sundays or something, wasn't it?
It was on after The Simpsons on Sunday nights. Yeah, like 9 o'clock, wasn't that right, Andrew?
I would always catch it just kind of randomly from time to time because I couldn't stay up that late a lot of times. But I remember just it was one of those things where I would kind of try to sneak watch it, and it was the tone changed from episode to episode. Sometimes it would be almost kind of humorous. Sometimes it would be more of a linear thing with the ongoing story, and then sometimes they would just have like these really creepy, weird episodes out of nowhere. So it was kind of, you know, all over the place.
Yeah, it had everything you love with science fiction and then cheesy 90s drama.
I think because I never
rolled into one
what it was about, and then I watched an episode and it was aliens, and I was like, eh, just wasn't my forte at the time, I guess.
Right. It was like the good working formula that Walker Texas Ranger used. They X-Files just did it right, right. You know. Every episode there's a new horror to deal with, a new alien, or I don't know, some lore come to life, so it'd be like Bigfoot or I don't know, it could be anything. It was yeah. just out there, and it was neat.
I saw the movies, not the last movie that came out, but there's only one other movie, wasn't there?
Yeah, I forgot about that. Well, I need to catch up. Next files. What about you, Jack?
Alf.
Damn it, quit looking at my list.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be on your list. I really wish they'd bring him back.
You think Alf could sustain? I don't know. Do you think he could last in today's world?
Well, maybe not in just a TV sitcom. It'd probably have to be like a Nickelodeon show or something like that, maybe.
How could you revamp Alf successfully?
Did they ever give him a going away when they ended the show?
I don't remember. No, I'm trying to think of how you could successfully bring back Alf. Did you ever watch Alf, Andrew?
I know of it. Yeah, I definitely remember what he looks like, but I don't remember it too much.
How did he get left, or did he come visit?
He was stranded.
Was he stranded? I couldn't remember.
I don't remember if he had his ship in like the Tanner's garage, or if he was just always trying to build something to communicate back to Melmac. But he was stranded here. And then when the cartoon series came out, then he on that show he was back home, like he was on Melmac. Right, yeah.
That's why I fell off the bandwagon seeing Alf's feet, even though you saw him every once in a while on the show. Always kind of Muppets when you see their feet just doesn't work for me for some reason.
Yeah, Alf was awesome. I had a figurine. Actually, I think I have an Alf figure up on the shelf here. He's back on the Happy Meal toy shelf there, but
is he wearing like an old lady's dress or something?
No, that's a Bernstein Bear.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, it is. I see her now.
Bernstein.
Read those books. I've not thought about them in probably 20 years.
Fucking Mandela effect crap. Boy, it got me. It really did. Yeah, those books were they were big. I mean, when I was a kid, I think they probably still are amongst
they always gave me the creeps the way their mouth was shaded, because it was like that crosshatch shading, and it just something about it just rubbed me the wrong way.
Looked into the depths of your soul.
It wasn't just opaque, it was crosshatch, so there was lines in their mouth. It's like eating a mouthful of spider webs or something. I don't know.
No, they've been around, I think, for years. But I remember in the late 80s, they had a surgence in popularity. I don't know why, but I know they had I think there was a TV show at one point.
There was a cartoon, I remember, yeah.
But what's that?
Yeah, I definitely caught some of those. I remember the show, or at least episodes of something.
So that must have been what spurred the figurines at McDonald's to come out.
Oh, probably, then. Yeah.
But I think there were even different Happy Meals where you could actually get books, too. Maybe it came with both. I don't remember. It was like 87. But
what do you got for aliens?
Aliens. Well, one of my favorites, and not biased just because I like the Ninja Turtles, but the Krang I always found to be a cool alien race. I enjoyed them. They... especially in the newer incarnations, you know, back in the old days, it was just like one little brain with arms that they called Krang. You know, Krang is the name of the species, the race. So there's a bunch of them. And I don't know, just how they remain incognito on Earth, you know, riding around in human exoskeleton bodies disguised as real humans. I always loved it.
I love the way they talk.
They could be anywhere. You could be a Krang.
I know. I could be a Krang that is... an alien. How do they talk on the Nickelodeon show?
Oh boy, you'd have to give me a minute to construct. They're so specific. The one that is Krang recognizes the one that is Jack. Yeah, or something like that.
That shit's hilarious.
Yeah, we're back to you, Andrew. What do you got?
Men in Black was another one that I was. I honestly haven't watched it in a long time, but I remember when that first came out. I was like loving that movie.
I was unfortunate enough to catch the second one on television the other night. But as bad as a movie as that one is, I still felt kind of obligated to like watch it. It was still kind of refreshing to kind of jump back into the Men in Black field. It's been a while. And it was kind of fun. It was a bad movie, but it was kind of fun. I loved the first one and the third one. But that middle one, it's kind of the same thing with Ocean's 11, 12, and 13. Stay away from 12. The middle one's off. But the bookend movies they're really good.
I remember coming out of the theater seeing Men in Black thinking, man, anyone around here could be an alien.
Yeah.
That and the whole very end with the universe was in a marble.
Right.
And it was just an alien playing marbles with the universe. So I was like, man, my head just blew up.
It was so funny to see the end of that movie when Will Smith, you know, they do a quick shot where he's like the new in charge agent and the female who was in the movie with him, I don't remember her name.
Oh, yeah.
But she became like his secondary agent.
Mm-hmm.
How he like took on this whole new style. Like it wasn't just a normal suit and tie. Now he had the kind of like a preacher's collar going with like these little itty bitty like spectacle like shades on.
He was the king shit all of a sudden.
Well, but that's just it. When the movie came out, that look was king shit. And now it's like, oh my God, look what the fuck he's wearing.
Ray-Bans made a comeback.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't it based on a comic, actually? Did I read that right? Or something like that?
What's that now? I'm sorry?
Wasn't it based on a comic initially or something?
Yes. The Men in Black is... I actually found something. I was... In visiting my sister, she lives in Illinois, and brother-in-law, and we went to a bookstore, and they had one of the old original Men in Black comics. And if it's the same thing that you're speaking of, I mean, it was very simplistic, just like a yellow color cover with black text on the front, maybe like a few little drawings of men, like agents there. But it was more of like a descriptive, like in. Informing you of the Men in Black, right? Like I can't remember exactly.
I didn't know it was a comic. I thought it was just a...
I don't think it's like a comic in the traditional comic like we have here, you know, like...
Oh, okay.
I think they were like using... And correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew. Do you know anything about the comic?
Well, because I forgot his name. Was Doug Tenenpaul? Or let me look it up.
Yeah, I'm going to look up some stuff myself here, because I've always wanted to delve a little bit deeper into that. It's just hard to...
Like, creature thing? Creature, let me look it up. Creature Tech. Can you guys know what creator I'm talking about? He's like a writer, artist.
Give me 1 second. It's almost up here. Lowell Cunningham?
Doug Tenenpole is who I have. So maybe I'm thinking of a totally different thing. Creature Tech. Yeah, I think I'm... confusing them. So you're probably right, whatever you're looking at. But yeah, I think I'm thinking of something else. But yeah, I just thought it was originally some kind of comic basis to it.
Yeah, let me see here. The original publication date on this like says the early 90s. So the one I'm looking at is not the one I was thinking of. The one I saw... Oh, I wish I would have bought it. I should have bought the damn thing. But it looked... I think it was dated from, like, the 60s or 70s. It was older. And just very, like, two-tone, just, like, colored paper with black print up the front. And I don't even know if the inside was all comic or if it was even comic at all. But it just looked like it was more informative of this secret agency that's all around you that hides in plain sight, you know, and here's what to look for kind of stuff. I don't know. I could be horribly mistaken about that. But that's what I took from it.
Yeah, everything I'm seeing shows, like, from the show type stuff going on with Agent K.
I took a picture of it somewhere. I'll have to look for it. Actually, Jack, why don't you go ahead and go? I'm going to look for said picture.
Go what? Oh, for aliens?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The Predator.
Ooh.
It's one Good of the one. Coolest ones. I remember when I was a kid, I'd get Fangoria magazine on the download.
Oh, yeah.
My parents wouldn't let me have that.
You just got a glimpse of that magazine and your ass was in trouble.
Oh, yeah. But they had for sale, it was a whole mask of the Predator where you could get like some of the chest or most of it was just the headpiece. But that thing was probably about $200. And man, if I was a little bit better with my money, I'd have had that bastard.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I love that magazine, just seeing all the way makeup and stuff worked.
It was cool. And the fronts were so eccentric and loud, like the big, like, red blood-dripping letters with something's mouth jarred open.
Something from some movie, but I never watched half of those movies because they'd scare the hell out of me. But I'd sit there and look at how the stuff was done.
There it is. This is the picture I took.
Huh.
And in the bottom corner, it says 1970. And it says Timothy Green Beckley. So I'm going to look that up really quick. Is this interesting, or should I just put this to rest?
No, it is. It's the way it's put together. It's stapled on the spine, just like, not like a booklet staple like comics are, but it's actual two staples.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like it's a...
a cheap production.
It's a manifesto.
Is Fansbury Magazine still going? Because I remember that too.
I don't know if it is or not. I don't think I've... well, walking in the grocery store, walking by the magazines, I don't think I... it's mostly guns and ammo and good housekeeping anymore. Occasional little kid stuff. But yeah, I don't know if it is. Might just be on web online now.
Yeah, I used to work at Barnes & Noble's before that all shut down. And I remember seeing that pretty prominently.
I love that magazine. I used to... I
have a ton of stuff from there.
I used to work at a Sam Goody. And in the middle of the store was a huge magazine rack. And boy, that thing was just... awesome. It was so awesome. Especially at the time I was working there, early 2000s. You know, you had on one side Wizard Magazine, sitting next to Toy Fair Magazine, sitting above Fangora, next to Heavy Metal. You know, there was, well, what else was there? FHM Magazine,
mm-hmm.
Maxim Magazine.
Yep.
I don't think these exist anymore.
I don't
think 90%
so, yeah.
of everything I've listed here is gone, right? What else? I mean, there were so many good magazines back in the day.
Who looks at paper anymore? It's all on your phone.
That's true. Yeah, but as soon as these magazines say their format's moving to like your phone, I'm disinterested.
Same here.
I don't want to read the magazine on my phone. I want to have it in my hand.
You're probably going to get pop-ups all over the place. I'm tired of pinching and expanding text.
I'm not prone to read it if it's on my phone.
No.
If I have it in my hand, you know, I'll read it then.
Phone's all about the pictures.
Not that that's any reason or anything, but...
it's a good point, though, to bring up, because it's like, comics, I don't particularly mind reading them digitally, but there is certain things like magazines where it's like, I want to hold it in my hand if I'm going to read those articles.
Yeah, and I always say on the show, especially with comics, you know, I have to sit at the computer almost when I read a digital comic. Because if I do it on my phone or iPad, I am out. I fall straight to sleep.
I happen to sit there and turn the orientation left and right, depending on the way the panel goes.
Well, like if you like,
pain in the butt too.
Like go to like Comixology or something, they've got like really cool things that'll like move the camera around on the panels for you. But yeah, when you're straight up just opening a PDF and looking through it, it can be it just knocks me out straight away. So yeah, I just looked up this guy whose name was on this book again, Timothy Green Beckley, and it looks like he writes a bunch of books on just kind of the unexplained, kind of UFO-y kind of stuff. So this we kind of hit a dead end here.
So maybe that's the inspiration for the movie itself.
Could be. I'll have to look more into it when we're not on, not taking people's time. Anyway, are we back to me?
Yep.
Has everybody here seen Arrival with Amy Adams?
No.
No. What about you, Andrew?
Oh, yeah, that's the new one, right? With the language and all that stuff, right?
Yes. And damn, what a good movie.
Is it?
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Good. But those aliens were just freaking amazing. They were awesome. You know, I think it's, you know, we all have seen the image of the Greys, the little humanoid, big head,
big eyes,
little mouth, little nose, pop culture aliens, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's stupid to think they would be anything close to humanoid. You know, that their biology, their makeup, their everything would be so far distant from what we are, and that's exactly what that movie showed you. You know, I don't want to spoil anything because you need to watch it. It's really good.
I think I probably went to watch it, but the wife was like, "I don't want to watch it now." So usually I've got to start watching it while she's there, and then she'll get sucked.
Get her hooked
later
in.
On. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully my testimonial will be the tipping point that she'll watch.
I could be crazy on this, but wasn't there another movie called Arrival that came out in like the early 2000s or 90s with like Charlie Sheen and like the aliens, their legs, the knees like moved the opposite way? Is that ringing any bells?
Was it? It does ring a bell. Was
the
it
legs,
Charlie Sheen, or was it Mark Wahlberg?
But like, you know, like the knees, it was super creepy. Like they bent the other way.
Like they bent forward backwards. Or oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
like a chicken.
Yeah, like a chicken. Exactly. Because I think it is. Yeah, it is Charlie.
It is Charlie Sheen. Yep.
Yeah.
Did I see that one? I think I did see that.
Do you have a picture I can see, like a cover or something? I want to
see here.
Oh, that does look familiar. Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember the legs, and they just went in the complete opposite direction, and it was just ugh.
That's kind of the same. Well, I guess they're not in the opposite direction, but they had like two sets in these. The aliens from Independence Day.
Oh, that was that was on my list too. Definitely.
Yeah, I adore the look of those aliens. I love their whole exosuits. They were cool all the way around. What did you did you happen to see the second Independence Day movie, Andrew?
I didn't. Was it a big letdown?
Oh, you don't have to watch it to know that much. But
the trailer showed that.
Yeah. You know, I had such high hopes, because I was like, I love the first one, man. But then I went and watched the first one, and it hasn't dated well. Mm-mm, hasn't aged well. But it'll always be one of my favorites. I love that alien.
Especially watching it on a high-def screen. Like, the explosions, they almost... The animation's not smooth. It gets choppy.
Yeah. There's so even bad. A point at the end of the movie, like, when they're racing to get out of the mothership before it blows up. They have stolen the alien ship, or it's the same one they flew in on, I guess. But and there are two more alien ships in pursuit of them from behind. And there's a few a few shots where you can see they forgot to put the the paint,
The texturing
on those little ships, because they're just like straight up flat white, like just moving back and forth. I don't know. It's funny how something can look amazing and then...
Give me 5 minutes, I'll finish it. We don't have time. We got to put this in the movie now. We're out of money.
Yeah. Well, look what happened with the E.T. Atari game after that kind of pressure.
I just remember that, like, you're going back to where you brought up the exoskeletons, where it was like... it looked like that was the alien, and then it was actually a little alien inside where they had like a living bio armor. I love that.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, that was so cool.
When they peeled away the thing from its face, and you first saw its eyes like slide open, that was so neat. That's why when I went to the toy store downtown, I had to buy the one I used to have the on the shelf one. Here. Yeah. It's so cool because the head will... at one point, it had a working sensor on it. You could put a battery in it, set it up, and if somebody walks in the way of this laser, the head splits open and exposes the little alien sitting inside.
That's awesome.
But it's not threatening at all, and it doesn't work. So, and his tentacle broke, so he's kind of propped up in the closet looking sad.
I think that would be a bad way to go if it was the alien just all of a sudden popping open anytime anyone walked by. Someone walked by with mace, and all of a sudden, surprise! Psh, you're dead.
No, those aliens were cool. The second one, they had the queen. Remember did you see the second one?
Mm-mm. Yeah, she's giant though.
Yeah,
yeah. I remember seeing the previews of like giant alien legs, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
What's even the premise? Like they just come back? They want revenge or something? Or
it's like 20, what was it, 20 years exactly? Was it 25?
Yeah, it was like, I think it was 20.
They, the distress signal
finally hit and they finally came
got
back
to their colony. And then, so this was their reinforcements coming in.
But we reverse engineered all the technology left over and made us have spaceships and big cool laser guns.
How Judd Hirsch keeps living through all this shit is beyond me. But
not only that, but Data, whatever his name was.
Brett Spiner. I forgot about that.
He choked him out and killed him, and now he's back.
Yeah.
I was just in a coma.
Yeah. Well, so what? Who cares?
They called me dead in the first movie, but no, I wasn't really.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I just heard Andrew's mind getting made up like, oh, shit, that's a bad movie.
You guys brought up James Bond Jr. in the last episode, and it was crazy. Because I hadn't thought of that show probably since it was actually on, but it started me thinking about all those. Because remember they used to make all those shows and they just would come out with toy lines after them. The Biker Mice from Mars. Do you guys remember
that? Oh yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
I loved that. And I had all the toys. The guy, the rat that had like the half robot face and arm, and the motorcycles that had all these cannons on. I mean, yeah.
They were wicked. They definitely. I never had any of them, but I remember them coming out around the same time as the Power Rangers, maybe like right before the Power Rangers hit really big. But they were really kind of cashing in on the Ninja Turtle aesthetic.
I think it was easy to do when the Ninja Turtles was big, because you can make any kind of animal.
Anything went after the Turtles. Like, oh, wow. They're okay. Let's do. Well, you said the, what were they called again? Mutant mice from Mars?
Biker mice.
I'm sorry. Then you had what, the street sharks?
Mm-hmm. You had SWAT cats,
battle toads.
Yeah.
The list. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more on that list. I mean, that's just a few in the front of our memory right here.
Right.
Yeah. But no, I thoroughly enjoyed that kind of stuff. I remember watching that show. What was it? Bucky O'Hare. That's what was on the end of my tongue.
I never watched that one. That comes up a lot on the show, but never did watch it.
Yeah, I had a love-hate relationship with Bucky O'Hare. Like, I would see it come on, but like, fucking Bucky O'Hare. But then I'd sit down and start watching it and be like, you know, it isn't half bad, you know?
You could not get those toys anywhere. I remember trying to get, like, they were flying off the shelves, or at least
the
where
Bucky
I was.
Bucky O'Hare ones?
Yeah, I could not get. Or you could never get Bucky. You could get, like, you know, one of the side characters.
Oh, yeah. Well, why didn't even bother with the side characters? Just put out a line of the main character and be done.
Just
it's like
a
always
ton of them, so everyone can get one and be happy.
When those stop selling, then you put out the boring characters.
Yeah.
But nobody to fight. I'm Bucky O'Hare with no one to fight. Oh, look, now I can.
Yeah.
Yep.
I tell you, kind of way off topic, but just kind of we're touching on toy lines here, you know, and how they should be done. Might I just applaud, I think it was Hasbro that just did the Avengers Infinity War toy line. They were fantastic. They, for a $10 action figure, boy, you really got your money's worth.
And really?
Look at the shelf behind me here.
Oh, yeah.
That's all them. One of those is a Marvel legend.
Drax, right?
Drax is. But the rest of them come from that. And they don't look perfect, but for $10, they look pretty good. They capture likenesses of the characters.
Yeah.
For sure. And I was happy with them. Nice. So good on you, Hasbro. Good on you.
I don't even think I've seen those in the store. I haven't been looking lately, though.
But they're coming out in waves. I bought the few. I bought Iron Man and, like, Thor and a few of the Guardians. I was like, okay, I'm done. We were in there, and then I saw a whole new wave came out with Strange and Iron Spider-Man. I was like, uh-oh. There goes more money. What about, have you guys, either of you seen A Silent Place?
No. Wait, sounds familiar. What is
it's that? it's a brand new film. John, it was his Krasinski, I think.
It's something like that.
From The Office, he played Jim on The Office.
I heard it's really good, right?
That's everything I've heard. Yeah,
we just watched it the other night, and yeah, it's good. But the Silent Place title, I mean, it really lets you into what you're in for. It is
really
quiet. It's funny. Brooke brought it home from Redbox, and you know, she started a dishwasher before we started the movie. Normally wouldn't be a problem, except that this movie's so fucking silent that the dishwasher is all you could hear. But great movie, great film, and they never allude exactly what it is. You know, if it is an alien, or we're assuming that's what they are.
I heard it was some kind of monsters or something like that. That's all I've heard.
They are. I mean, that's what they look like. But I mean, you know, they don't ever bring the context, like, what they're doing here, where they came from. And so, I don't know if they are alien. Whatever they are, they were horrifying. Horrifying.
Really?
Horrifying, Jack. Their mouth, like, opened in, like, five different places, had, like, 10 sets of teeth.
That's not what I like to see.
And just the slightest sound from miles away, they could hear it. You know,
so it's just a movie of good manners and shut up!
And how they adapted to this lifestyle. It was really good. Really good. Strongly recommend it.
Yeah, I gotta check that out.
That's all I have, though, gentlemen. What about you?
I probably could bring up some more, but we're running late.
I guess we are. Andrew, did you have any more to list?
No, I don't want to hold it up. Go ahead. Go for it, guys.
Society6.com/CandairePod. I'm not even worrying about transitions anymore, Jack.
No aliens on our t-shirts.
No aliens on our t-shirts, but if you want them, we'll put them on there. I mean, just have to let us know. We can put anything on those t-shirts you want. If you don't like our current line...
I'll make an alien, put it on there, just because.
Just because?
Yeah.
But yeah, society6.com/CandairePod. You can get yourself a t-shirt, a coffee mug, what else? Decals, coasters.
Coasters.
All kinds of different things on there.
Your mother's drapes.
Your mother's drapes, ladies and gentlemen, with Candair on them. You can't go wrong.
Check off and there's always a sale. Always. Yeah. Always a sale going on.
Yeah. I mean, when you fall in love with a new podcast, you want to start wearing and repping that podcast, mm-hmm. right?
Here's That's how you what do I do. It. I'm broke with all the podcasts I listen to. Support.
Society6.com/CandairePod. Go get some tasty moich. All right. With that, let's swing open the door to the comic vault. Jack, would you please lead the way this week?
Sure. I've got Death or Glory. When I was at the comic book store, I was looking for something new to read. And the guy working there pointed this out. He said it's a good story. It's about a girl trying to save her dad by getting a donated liver.
Okay.
So I thought, all right, this doesn't seem like comic material really, but
okay,
it sure enough is. Her mother died when she was a kid, so she was the main character. I think her name is Glory. So that's where that name comes in the title.
Oh, yeah. I see what they did there.
Her mom died, so I don't know if it was a boyfriend or just a male figure that was there, raised her pretty much. He pretty much went off the grid, getting rid of his social, anything that said who he was or anything, and he comes up with cancer. So now he doesn't have insurance, can't go to the hospital to get it fixed. So he's sick. He's got about a week to live, so she's going to do whatever she can to get him the transplant. So she ends up going on this big hunt to get money. She wrecks into a cop car that was dirty cops going to make a deal with this mob boss with a bunch of money. That goes awry. So she ends up stealing the truck that the people were driving with the money, thinking, I'm going to sell all the shit in the back of the truck. Come to find out, she stops, hears knocking on the back of the truck. It's full of immigrants. It was a good read. Not a lot of text. There was a lot of aside talking to herself, just telling you the story and who she right. is. Not for young kids. There's a lot of swearing.
I see.
But it was good. It was a really fun read. Definitely going to pick up the second one because it surprised the heck out of me how good it actually was.
Huh.
It was just to go about the other one. That's Rick Remender, right? That wrote that?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, he's solid. I've yet to really read anything that I don't like of his.
Yeah, I was looking at it. I saw the name. I was like, man, I know that name from somewhere. I can't think of what else he's done, but...
Oh, he's got, like, what? He's got Deadly Class out right now. You guys reading that?
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, fantastic. The sci-fi series or channel is going to have a show, actually. You guys can go check the trailer out when we're done with this. But that's a great... Kind of like a John Hughes movie, but set in an assassin school. So it's like you get the high school angst, but it's like crazy violent and everybody's an assassin from different parts of the world, and it's pretty awesome. You just check it out.
Sounds really good. Yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah, he did Fear Agent. That was another great one. He's done a lot of awesome stuff.
Well, if he's on Image, he's got to be doing something right.
Yep.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Very cool.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff from Image.
Death or Glory, I'll have to read that. All right, Andrew, would you like to go next?
Yeah, so the one I was reading is The Inkhole. Have you guys read that?
No, The Ink, like Inkhole?
It's spelled I-N-C-A-L.
Okay.
I may be saying it wrong, but it's Mobius and Yodorowsky. I don't know when it actually came out. I don't know if it was the 80s or the 90s, but it's a European comic. And it's just super crazy sci-fi action. Basically, this PI goes to, you know, do a job, and it goes horribly wrong. And he gets this thing called the Inkhole. It's like this little tiny pyramid, and everybody in the universe wants it. And just shenanigans ensue. And it's like an acid trip. It's just crazy and all kinds of action and creatures and worlds and And it's just from the get-go, it's just crazy. And Mobius, anything Mobius is beautiful. So, yeah, no, it's great.
I don't think I've ever seen or read anything. I think I've seen some of his stuff, but I haven't read it.
No, but same here.
Everyone that does can't talk enough good about it.
Right. And I need to write this down because when I say my name, I see ink hole. So I-N, so you said C-O-L?
C-A-L.
C-A-L.
Ankle. Go to the comic book store. Do you have the ankle?
Yeah. Ink hole? I have to see it written down for it to register, I guess. That sounds interesting.
You have Comixology Unlimited. I think the first chapter is free on Unlimited. I don't know if you guys got that, but...
I do not know, but jumping online here really quick and looking. Does it have the in front of it, or is it just ankle?
Yeah, it's the ankle.
Okay, yeah, okay, here it is. I see very futuristic element kind of stuff in there.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. Did you guys see the Dune documentary by chance?
No,
I didn't. I think Jake's seen it, and he said it was amazing.
Did he?
Yeah.
So it's like the same guy that was going to make that movie, and he made some crazy movies called El Topo was one of them, but like in the 60s, 70s, and just really crazy out there stuff. And then he got into writing comics. And I actually, these movies are too weird for me. I know that's probably sacrilege to some people, but too weird for me. But his comics, and he's kind of a weird dude and not the greatest guy in real life, but his comics are just out there and really fun to read. So yeah, he did a ton of stuff for European publishers. So yeah, give it a whirl. And Mobius, yeah, like I said, always good if he's attached.
I'll have to look into that. I've never even heard of this. Mm-mm. Sounds good though. All right. Well, what I am bringing this week is something we've had on the show before. Back on episode 156, we welcomed Michael Manimivable to the show. We talked about video games, which was a hell of a good conversation. We got into talking about pirated video games, the pirated video game industry.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, because he was from Korea or something like that, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah, it was a long time ago. Yeah. But my God, what an artist he was. He was on to talk about the recent release of his book, Fathoms, The Art of Michael Manimivable. And this is just a collection of his artwork. And I know just talking about a book that just features artwork on an audio-based format doesn't really always translate. But I don't know what else to say other than it's gorgeous. I mean, Jack, you've seen some of his artwork in the past. Let me look. How would you describe it?
Open it up, because I was trying to remember. That's just text.
Oh. That's all you need.
It's great line work on there.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. On Google now.
I thought it was. Oh, is that Galvatron or not? Ultra. Oh, I can't remember that Transformers name.
I'm glad you looked that up, Andrew. Is there anything in particular you're looking at the moment?
Let's see. Is it the cover where it's like a old deep sea diver taking a helmet?
Yeah. The helmet's coming off, and like all the smog stuff's coming out.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for old-timey diver stuff, so that's already a sell for me. But the interiors looks like kind of everything, right?
It's done up into different sections. Like the first one, the one that you'll probably like, is called Flotsam and Jetsam. It features all that like deep-sea diver kind of stuff. And then there's, what else is there? Intertidal, which is a series based on childhood memories, it says. There's another one called Youth and Hope. Beasts, Real and Imagined, so, you know, fictional and real.
Oh, I remember this now, the creatures. Little kid in the spotlight of the night street light with the monster wrapped around him, and the kid in knight's clothing.
The Final Frontier, which is one of my favorites. There's a few sci-fi inspired paintings in here, but then there's one of Leonard Nimoy as Spock. He wasn't the captain. What am I thinking? And there's another one of David Bowie here that's really freaking cool. I think they had done that for a tribute to him, like right after he had passed.
Yep.
Gotcha.
But what else? Love, Honor, and Sacrifice, which was featured a bunch of like swordplay and stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe not a bunch of swordplay, but I see a lot of swords in a lot of these things. Anyway, strongly recommend checking it out. We'll have to put some more links up on the website and on Twitter. But I can't recommend this artwork enough. It is gorgeous. The art of Michael Manimivable. You can find him on Twitter at Mike Mano Art. Strongly recommend it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, it looks really amazing. It's really, really.
Good. I'm glad you looked it up. We had some. I didn't want to sit here and just go on about it. Have you guys?
It was not who I thought it was.
I think I know who you're thinking of, though. You're thinking of that real intricate line, real intricate line work that the people we saw in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of.
All right. Well, with that behind us, let's just turn our full attention over to Andrew and talk about the bawdy tales of Laszlo Kale. Andrew, I want to thank you once again for being here with us and congratulate you. It looks like you're about halfway through your Kickstarter, and it looks like you're about halfway to your goal, past halfway. So I'd say you're on the road to success, sir.
Yeah, so I'm pretty happy about it. So hopefully, by the time that we get to the end, we're fully funded. Fingers crossed.
I think you will be. I mean, at this point, if you're above halfway funded, they say a big surge happens at the beginning. There's a lull in the middle.
Yeah.
And then another big surge at the end. So if you're already more than halfway there, sir, I'd say you've got this one in the bag. I don't want to jinx you, though. I'm sorry if I jinxed you.
The flatlines the rest of the campaign. Shit.
If so, let me know. I'll make it up to you somehow. Maybe, I don't know, I'll record you a special podcast. That's all I have to offer.
We got stickers.
We're getting stickers.
Perfect.
So if we could start just by telling our listeners about the bawdy tales of Laszlo Kale.
Yeah, so it's basically the protagonist is an ex-gigolo turned art dealer who's tasked with finding the most notorious gangster in Paris, his stolen painting. And it's not just your ordinary Paris, it's set in the future and right after an interdimensional time bomb went off. So there's all these different simultaneous time periods kind of coexisting at once. So you'll see like dinosaurs and samurai and Viking and stuff walking around, and then flying cars. And so it's kind of everything at once, but instead of chaos, it's kind of like this, it actually really worked out well. And so everybody's just kind of living in this crazy city, and adventures ensue.
I have to say that that's probably one of my favorite elements of this book is the setting you chose. I mean, you could have done this character in this similar kind of thing probably in just a very, you know, the same kind of reality we know, maybe twisted a little bit, but you really not only put it in the future, but after this time bomb exploded and all these things can and do exist on top of each other. How did that come to be? What made you decide to go with that kind of reality?
You know, it was kind of just, I was absorbing a ton of things at the time, and I just kind of blended them up and poured them out, and that became Laszlo. But I was doing a lot of reading a lot of European sci-fi, kind of like the stuff that I was talking about earlier, and then watching a lot of like the 70s crime French crime films, and just reading a whole bunch of stuff, and it kind of just came out to be that. And I was reading about art and art thieves at the time, and that was just kind of came to be that, you know. It was just really just the combination of things.
It's go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, I got a sense of the European comics in it, because there, what was that movie that came out not too long ago with the it was the guy and the girl, it was all real CG heavy. Valerian.
Yeah, Valerian.
Just kind of reading Valerian and watching the movie, like anything goes pretty much, and you accept it because of what it is.
Right.
And then once you get into the story and find out what happened with the time bomb and everything morphing together, it gets kind of that feeling. It piqued my interest a little bit more to keep going into it.
Yeah, and it's actually something that came up earlier in this episode. I don't remember exactly what cured it. What alien we brought up or what world we brought up, but we said, you know, it was one of those things where anything can go, like you just were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's so true. When I don't know, the possibilities are endless, and that's what keeps the, I think, the reader interested. You know, just knowing that anything can happen.
Anything can happen, and you can't really be like, Why? Because it is.
I'm going to say something for Jake, since he isn't here. You know, he said that samurais and dinosaurs can exist right next to each other. Two great tastes that taste great together. You can't go wrong. At least I don't think you can. And another great thing for backers here on this campaign is that the book's done. It's ready to go to print, correct?
Yeah. So I have a couple Kickstarters under my belt. And one thing I always try to do is make sure that book's ready, because, you know, I back a ton of them as well. And there's nothing more frustrating than being excited about a book or a premise, and then it takes 4 years to come out.
Right. Yeah, right. Been there.
Yeah, real life happened. Still there. Yeah, right. So it's just it's something I didn't want to, because even when it's all done, there still may be issues. I mean, I had a previous campaign where I planned it unknowingly right during Chinese New Year, so all of China shuts down, and so the factories that were printing the book just stopped, and so that delayed the books and one of my previous projects. So there's little things, like even when the book is completely done, things can happen. Sure. So I try to have it done so that you know, once the funds go through, we can just send those PDFs right away, and then you have something while the books are at the printer.
And this is not a project people are going to back and be getting like an issue one in the mail. This is a 48-page graphic novel, correct?
Well, yeah. So the plan is to do, yeah, it's definitely oversized. The plan is to do two more issues oversized like that, and then collect them into a trade. But yeah, definitely a meaty first issue.
So it's a 48-page issue and not being considered a graphic novel. That'll come down the road.
Right. Yeah. So we got two more planned.
I see.
Equally in size. So, yeah.
Well, that answered my next question. I was going to ask if this was a self-contained story, or how far do you see it going? But at least two more books.
Yeah, because the last page, we have an epilogue where we kind of open up some more stuff about one of the other characters. I don't want to give away too much, but. So we're going to focus a little more on some of the other characters and kind of play with the world a little bit, because I didn't want to set up too many things in the first issue and overwhelm anybody, but there's a whole lot more of that world that we can play with, and that's something I definitely want to explore.
You could just let your mind run for hours with the possibilities that you could come up with in this universe.
Easily, yeah.
Times existing, eras existing over the top of each other. I'm trying to think of two eras to mash up right now. Let's say the 1880s and the 1980s.
Right. Well, can you imagine like having a bachelor party or bar hopping in this city? Like, I mean, you could literally just go from time period to time period.
Man, yeah.
Restaurants, hotels, what would those be like?
I wouldn't eat Disneyland anymore. Cause...
So let's say you jump into a past era and you eat at a restaurant there. When you jump into a future era, do you now have like hundreds of year old rancid food in your stomach?
It ages all of a sudden.
Yeah, like catches up.
No, that you don't have to worry about that, because we can make up the rules as we go in this.
There you go.
Anything goes. That's what's so good about it. What about rewards you're offering to your backers?
So we're going to be, we have a Jim Rugg variant cover, which I'm a huge Jim Rugg fan. I don't know if you guys have read Street Angel or Aphrodisiac, but he's a great, that's the Street Angel's through Image currently. But it's about this little girl who's like 13-year-old skateboarder little girl who's also like incredibly good hand-to-hand fighter and fights ninjas and all kinds of stuff, and it's pretty awesome. But he did a variant cover for the book, and I think he nailed it. You can see it on there. But he did an amazing job. We got some art prints. We also have the other titles that I've put out, and we have original artwork. So there's, yeah, definitely a lot of stuff to check out.
A lot to entice the masses. And this is a good-looking book, so I strongly recommend people go check it out. Is other than the Kickstarter, which we're going to have linked, is there anywhere else people should be checking you out?
They can find me on Twitter at I Hate Maxwell, and
that's why I couldn't find you.
I just always like to play because it's good to have a good sense of humor with that.
Absolutely! I just kept searching Andrew Maxwell, like that's not him, that's not him.
And you can find us on Instagram at Grenade Fight underscore Fight.
Okay, very cool, very cool, and we'll link that stuff as well. Andrew, I want to thank you so much for being here. Is there anything else you wanted to say really quick about the project before we let you go?
Just a quick reminder that it ends on the 8th, so definitely if you're interested, check it out. And we love the support, and I think you'll really dig it if you get to check it out.
We're going to have that link on our Twitter account and on our website, so just head over there, follow the link, and show your support to Andrew that way. But Andrew, thanks so much for being here, and best of luck to you, my friend.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Jack, what do we have on the website?
You go to cannedairpodcast.com. You can check out our special guests, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media, visit the Hall of Heroes to see the Wall of Justice, check out some of our videos from our YouTube page, click on that merch button and buy something. And if you'd like to get a hold of us and say hi, or yell at us and say nay, send us an email on our contacts page.
Or you can say hello on Twitter at CannedAirPod, hey. Or Instagram at Canned_air in form of picture and tagging.
Facebook, right? Also on CannedAirPod.
All kinds of different places to get that canned air goodness you so desire. And speaking of places to get that goodness, we have another show on the horizon that we've been kind of pumping up here and there. Not too much because we're still in the beginning phases of making it. But as we get closer to, I'd say, September, October-ish, we'll be ready to launch our new show called What If. For those of you who have been around Canned Air for a while, know that we have sometimes we'll dedicate an episode to, how do I word it? It's not so much a segment, it's just the whole episode's called What If, where we make a twist on reality, like we did, like, what if magic really existed, or
Disney never existed.
What if Disney had never existed?
Hey, Roswell really did happen.
Oh, yeah, that's do have a what-if episode based on what if the events of Roswell, New Mexico really did happen. Mm-hmm. So I didn't even think about that. Go check that out. We'll put that link in there as well.
So we just did a spinoff of the what-ifs as if Cheers and Frasier.
Right.
Candair exactly. Is to Cheers is what if is to Frasier.
Let's hope Frasier's more successful than Cheers. But it's exactly that. We're going to be doing a whole series where we look at just twists on reality and their effects on the world. We've recorded 4 episodes already, and damn, they're really good. I don't want to say what the topic is quite yet as to give anything away, but at the end of it, we kind of sat here and looked at each other for a minute. It was a different kind of show than what we're used to here, just doing it kind of freestyle talking. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not that it was scripted, but just a different feel. And I'm excited to put it out there.
We got full of ourselves and was like, damn, that was really good. That was really good.
It wasn't even that. No, it was just that we had gone down this foxhole of thought and ended up in places of thought we never thought we would.
A lot of them
kind
of
had
that.
Some realizations, yeah. Like, wow, like this is heavy, you know? So, but that in itself makes me think it's good listening material.
Yeah.
So I hope the listeners feel the same. Find us on Twitter at What If Series. Give us a follow and you'll be in the know when that show goes live. And I think that about does it for this week. Oh, one more time. Don't forget the new season of Venture Brothers starting August 5th, Sunday at midnight. Set the DVRs, people. Don't miss it. Is that good?
That'll work.
Yeah. All right. All right. I think that's going to do it for this week. So until next time, I am Jeremy Colley.
I am Jack Doherty.
And I'm Andrew Maxwell.
Thanks for listening, everyone. From outside.
Blowtorch!
Whenever there's a fire in your house, be sure to get outside immediately. And once outside, get on CannedAirPodcast.com.
Well, thanks for the tip, Blowtorch, but just one question. What about the fire?
And no one is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
I heard that too.
Yeah.
There's a
telephone ring, I think.
Look out for the new Candair Alien merch.
Are you tired of seeing your teen or young adult struggle on a path that clearly isn't the right fit? Is your teenager confused about which direction to take after high school? The future of work is changing rapidly, and our kids need to know all of the options available after high school so they're empowered to make the choice that is best for them. In each episode, we explore the latest trends that are shaping the opportunities of today and tomorrow. I'm your host, Betsy Jewell, and this is the High School Hamster Wheel Podcast.